Good afternoon. Thanks for calling JW Mary Amadeus District. How may I assist today?
Hi, is this the front desk?
Yes, sir. It's the front desk. How may I assist you?
I was just wondering, do you know if Wayne Gretzky's staying here?
Wayne Gretzky?
Yeah.
Sir, I'm not quite sure. We have a Wayne Gretzky ballroom. It's under his name. But I don't think he's staying with us.
Hmm. Just because I know he works at the Rogers place, right? And then he... I thought maybe he'd be at the World Junior bubble just because, like, hockey and stuff.
Sir, I actually cannot give you any more information about a guest, especially, you know, for some specific guests to stay in a hotel or not.
So you're saying there's a chance, though?
You know, sometimes the guests that stay with us are confidential. I don't even know the guest name.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else we can do for you?
Just keep an eye out for him. Tell him I'm looking for him.
Bardown.
Hi, I'm Corwin, and I'm in a bubble.
And I'm DZ, and I am not in a bubble. I'm in my room. I guess that's a bubble.
Yeah, you're in your own bubble. You're just not in the World Junior bubble.
No, which is exactly why we're calling you, and you're not calling me, because the report from my end would be incredibly boring. But yours, you got the tea, my friend.
Okay, guys, I'm going to be honest. Z just straight up lied because nobody called anybody. We're just on a Zoom call.
All right. Well, I'm just going to get this started by saying, you're the only fan at the World Juniors. How does that feel? You know, it's an event entirely based around people just coming from all over the world to watch some of the finest young talent in all of hockey. And now there are no fans except for you. An absolute jagaloon in your jersey in the Edmonton bubble. What's it like being Canada's only fan? In fact, and the only fan in there, aside from people who are working, of course.
Yeah, it was definitely awkward. A lot of what you're yelling at games and stuff, you usually, it's so, what's the word, like masked or just like lost in the crowd of noise that no one really acknowledges anything anyone's saying?
Exactly, because media people still usually cheer to some degree, and obviously they're neutral, but they say some stuff and they get excited and they bounce up and down. And now that it's like, oh, like you're the only people there, there must be some moments where it's like they feel like they got some kind of audience and some kind of fans cheering for them.
No, honestly.
No? What, people kept in check? Really? Like, is everyone just like, no, they don't like say anything when goals happen?
So there's one guy, and there's a guy, I don't think he's a fan though. I feel like he might be some part of the coaching staff or something. He's from Slovakia, and he just sits in the concourse, like just above the 100 level seats, and screams at the team.
Like directions or again, like kind words?
It sounds like an angry fan, but again, so I also don't speak is Slovakian a language, or I don't speak whatever language they speak in Slovakia.
We're just such a well-traveled duo. One of us thinks Kazakhstan's in Eastern Europe, and the other one, is Slovakian a language?
Well, is it?
I don't know. I'm not saying I'm better.
Yeah,
I'm saying I'm as bad.
Buddy.
I'm saying as bad.
Well, I'm slightly better then, because I knew that Kazakhstan was not in Eastern Europe.
Whatever, Eurasia, same thing.
No, it's not.
All right, well, some of the people who actually work for these other teams, that makes sense that they're cheering because that's how it works in the other bubbles, like the NHL and the NBA bubble. Like, you see teammates and staff cheering and whatnot, but...
Yeah, well, obviously people on the bench, like, cheer and stuff.
Exactly. But this leads me to my next question then, which is, like, have you been even around the teams at all? Like, or the distance that you get to them from the game when you're just in the stands and... you're, you know, probably upwards of 50 plus meters away from them. Is that as close as you're allowed to get to the players? Because we know they're getting like virtually interviewed, like the panel doesn't even see them. And usually like you'd be right down there, like almost next to the bench. And after the game, you could get into the you know, the locker room and, you know, capture what it's like in there. But quite clearly, you're not allowed to do any of that But you're technically in the same bubble. Does that mean that you have any moments where you're kind of close to the players or the teams?
Like you said, I don't think it's quite as up close and personal as normal. Like you're not like walking right up to somebody and filming them or taking their picture or whatever. But there's a YouTube vlog that we did of basically just what the bubble's like. And there's one area that I kind of say that is definitely one of my favorite areas to go is just there's like basically the player level, which is ice level because it's where all their locker rooms are and stuff. But they also keep this whole section that like Sportchek like sponsored a whole like activity area basically. So they can play like spike ball. They do like kick ups with the keep ups with a soccer ball in that area. They have like these
little sewer ball.
Yeah. A little sewer ball, a little, they have just like bikes that they ride there. And then like, what are those like things that you roll out your muscles with? A bunch of those. So I don't know. It's just like a little activity area.
A foam roller, I believe.
Yeah.
Like you're allowed there too.
Yeah.
But not at the same time as them.
No, at the same time.
Oh, okay. So you are, there is like some interaction points to some degree. I mean, it makes sense because none of you are leaving this space. So, you know, right? Like you're in a compound and you can't leave for anything.
Yeah, 100%. You're locked in. Like basically, I'm in my hotel. There's two hotels. So there's a group A hotel and a group B hotel. And like, obviously, like people are going to be near each other sometimes. But the whole thing is to have your masks on at all times and then just basically not to spend too much time near any people. Like you have basically your media pass that you carry around with you. It has like a little electronic thing on it. It's a sensor that basically just it will alert them if you're near somebody who's not in your like grouping for too long.
So just to clear this up and clarify, you're not getting as close to anybody as the guy in hockey camo. Our favorite character from the World Juniors, the man wearing all white, like he's part of the Colgate Cavity crew, skating around on ice with that camera.
Yeah.
He's the only guy getting close to anyone.
Yeah, like for sure. So I met him after, by the way, hockey camo. His name.
What's his name?
Nate, and he has an Instagram at camera guy Nate, if you want to follow him.
Hey, absolutely giving him a follow.
Yeah, and then he's
isn't it weird, by the way, and I'll let you go on right there. This is now year two where a Canadian camera of some sort, and now a Canadian cameraman, has been the new World Junior hero.
With one thing, so after I posted that, because like I didn't really talk to him before I posted it, I just filmed it and then was like, this is funny, and posted. And then the he was like, oh, like he liked it, but he was laughing. He was like, you're the one that made that? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, my only request is next time you got to get a better shot of me like skating, because he was rattled that like in the comments a bunch of people were like, this guy can barely skate and stuff like that.
Oh no, Nate.
Which is so dumb, because like yeah. If you watch it, he's clearly doing like specific maneuvers to try and minimize camera movement. Like he's steady on one foot.
He's a human gimbal.
He's like doing little C's with one foot to basically just slowly back his way out. And it's like, yeah, why would you just
That's silly. I don't think people understand, obviously, which makes sense that they wouldn't understand unless you've done it, but you probably shouldn't judge on it, like how hard it is to keep a camera stable and have a shot actually look usable, especially like because they're cutting to him live.
Especially a camera like that.
Those things are heavy.
He told me, I think he said it was a 20-pound camera. That's crazy.
Well, Nate, I think everyone should know that clearly you can skate. If you're doing that job, period, I'm going to have to go ahead and guess that you can skate a lot better than the average person.
100%.
So now I know that, you know, Nate's recognized you for your work, but out of curiosity, you know, you're out there doing some vlogs and you've done vlogs for us in the past. Have any of the players actually recognized you from Bar Down at all? Have you had any fun interactions based on that?
Yeah. Definitely a couple of them. And like I think... like a bunch of the, like, even the Canadian guys follow Bar Down on Instagram and stuff like that. And I know, so like, I obviously I've chatted to a bunch of the players and different things like that. And I know, I'm pretty sure, Trevor Zegras and Cole Caulfield are aware that I'm stalking them now. So,
you're pretty much Zegras's personal social guy at this point. Without much
he's,
posted
he's
about
just
him.
So interesting. He's always doing funny stuff, and like he's got this like swagger about him that is just like, I actually think it would be really good for hockey if he was able to maintain that like confidence
charisma.
and charisma in the NHL, because he's like, yeah, he's 100% got just a little bit of attitude, you know. I love it. But the one that actually like a player kind of specifically reached out to me, where I was just walking down a hallway and Jesper Wallstedt, who just actually I guess probably became Sweden's starting goalie at this point, And he just stopped me in the hallway and was like, I love your YouTube videos, which is honestly, I was shocked because, like, again, I'm wearing a mask 100% of the time. So you can't really see my face that well. And then on top of that, just like he was in his full goalie gear about to go into a game. And it was just like,
it's pretty funny.
Yeah. So that was definitely pretty cool. And so I hope he's eligible for this year's draft. And according to Craig Button, he's very good. So I'm hoping he goes top 10.
Well, hopefully he does. And that is funny that in a moment where he's just about to focus in a game, he's like, isn't that asshole wins all those quizzes, so no one else then?
And this podcast is brought to you by TSN Direct, the best way to stream live NFL, MLS, tennis, golf, UFC, F1, NASCAR, SportsCenter, and more. So go to tsn.ca/subscribe and get started.
So, I mean, okay, we know you're around the players and whatnot, but a big part of the World Juniors experience, just being around the panel, you know, Duthy, McKenzie, all those guys. Have you been able to mingle with them whatsoever? Obviously, again, the social distance mingle.
Yeah. Like, we all have kind of our, you're basically assigned tables at the start of it where you kind of have like eating groups that you're supposed to stay within whenever you're eating. And that's most of the time that you're mingling is in that time. So not as much as like I know, like, me and you, even because we went to NBA finals and then I was at the Super Bowl in January, and both of those, like, I like hung out with Duthie a bit, and like he's always been super nice to us and just supportive and yeah, so I've chatted with him a bunch, and obviously he's been great. And then this is probably the first time, other than like I did a video with Bob one time, but this is the first time I've ever had like kind of spent extended time with him. And yeah, he's been awesome. It is funny seeing someone on, like, 'cause like I've admired Bob for many years, and then he's like really the leader in our industry, right? And yeah. So
he is the Bob father.
But it's funny when you see them just as regular people, and it's like, oh, he's super nice and chill and just you know, likes to have a beer and talk to his friends.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I feel like he gives off that vibe. They all give off that vibe. And as you said, like, I don't think I've ever run into any of the panel guys and not been like, wow, they're really nice.
Yeah,
because like most of them,
they're all super nice. Cool. Even well, honestly, funny enough, the person I probably spend the most time with is Craig Button, because me and him, like, so where I shoot
because Craig's
from,
awesome.
Yeah, he's so nice.
Also, and super nice guy.
Yeah, the nicest. And then so he watches games from the same area that I take photos. So like we just sit there and chat about the game. Well, like, I love it because he loves the sport of hockey so much that he, like, I feel like he just likes sharing his knowledge of it too. I'll say something about a player and he'll be like, well, you see what he did there, right? He'll get up and like do like a demonstration on how his body movement actually gave him the upper hand in that situation and how he's using it to his advantage. Like it's like different things. Like he was telling me a lot about the, like, basically the way the strategy for a lot of the Russian players, which is basically that they really try to like get body position where they can get like almost on the hip of a defender and get them to turn their hips. And then once they do, they cut back. And then, so they do that a lot and apparently are pretty well known for it. And then they use that obviously to their advantage, where then people start to try and defend that specifically. Use it as almost like a fake, right? Where they'll do the same thing and pretend like they're going to cut back and then go straight to the net. And it looks like they've barely made a movement, but the defenseman, it's basically huge, just like falls over, yeah, and they have a breakaway. So it's interesting for sure. And I love watching hockey with all these guys because they have a wealth of knowledge.
So much.
So, yeah, exactly.
They can contextualize so many different things. And as you said, just point out so many things. And again, it's probably funny when you're watching it with them in person being like, damn, that's crazy how much they know. And then you realize, oh yeah, like, that's why they're being paid to talk about this stuff, because someone at some point is like, hey, you know a lot about this and I feel like people could learn from you.
Yeah.
So, and again, as I was mentioning, the atmosphere pretty different than it is usually. Like, the World Juniors have some of the best atmospheres in all of hockey. It's got like a collegiate feel to it, almost like a soccer game.
100%.
And again, no one there this year, which kind of sucks. But like, what does it actually sound like during the game? And most importantly, player smack talk. Who smack talks the most? Which team is talking the most trash during any of those games? And what's the best chirp as well that you've heard?
I don't think you'll be surprised to hear that it's Team USA.
They nope.
are 100% the team that talks the most smack.
Which is awesome, by the way. Good for you guys.
Oh, it's awesome. It's unreal. It's so entertaining. And again, like I legitimately, when I said I follow Caulfield and Zegras around, I'm really not kidding. Like I go to all their practices and stuff because they just like they have so much fun with everything they do that it's fun to watch. And like, and I really think they'll like be, if they can continue kind of the pace at which they're scoring and different things like that into the NHL, then I think they'll be stars because they're just very likable guys. And I feel like I like gush over American players all the time now, like in our bar down debate thing.
I was going to say you do it a lot in our videos too. So that doesn't come as a surprise to me, which the ones you're gushing about, it makes sense, right? Like, you're a Leafs homer in that you have the American player at the moment to cheer for, so
yeah. And I feel like they're all boys. Like even like, I don't know if you saw Matthew's tweet, like I think he said like Zegras is nice with it or something, and like just like they all seem to really like show up for each other, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's cool that they've got a cool like young crew of Americans that are coming in and just kind of probably gonna be another just like powerhouse in the hockey world for a long time. In terms of chirps, one of the weirdest ones was like, because you can definitely hear a bunch of what people are saying on the ice, but and actually this one kind of ties into all your questions because there's been obviously a bunch of blowouts. And then the one where it was the weirdest was US was up like 11-0 on Austria or something. I think it was 11 or 10-0 at the time because there was about a minute left in the third. And the one of their players made a hit that I think he actually got suspended for in the end. And US team lost it because it was a dirty hit. It was blindside, a little late. Just unnecessary. And then I think the shots were like 72-10 or something at the time. So,
whoa, went bulls on them.
Yeah. 72-10. Yeah. They, but when there's an injury, they cut all the sound. Cause normally there's at least like fake, crowd noise, a bunch of the leagues have done fake crowd noise only in the broadcast, whereas in the building it's just quiet. But for this, they actually have the crowd noise in the building.
Oh, so they hear that too?
Yeah, they hear.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they hear all the crowd noise and stuff. And there's and obviously there's a lot of music that plays, which also I need to find the DJ who's here because he has a, like, the music has been great, like on point, like good current music that he has in like a remix style where, you know, when like you get a good like pre-concert DJ that basically there's like 15 seconds of a bunch of songs you really like and they're all just, I'm really off topic now.
Yeah, it's fine. He's done a good job.
Yeah, he's just done a good job. But anyways, so all that was cut. And then so because there was no sound, you could hear them yelling at each other more clearly. And the entire US bench was just screaming at them like, I'm not going to say a bunch of it.
Go ahead, go for it.
Well, no, I'm not going to say because obviously a bunch of it they were just like cussing him out and then the big thing that they kept saying was like you have 10 shots, like you're a joke. Like what are you doing? Like that's a like Bush League hit basically and just like just consistently chirping them for only having 10 shots, which was hilarious because
imagine if the guy who hit him heard all that and just skated by and he was like, actually looks like 11 if you count that one.
Yeah, so that was a pretty, I guess, unique moment, especially because like normally you're thinking that like, oh, these teams probably feel a little bad for the other team beating them so badly. And then, but like in that moment,
not if they're taking cheap shots. Yeah.
You're brutal.
Yeah, no. It's like a very thinly veiled, like, oh yeah, sportsmanship. And then the second that line is broken, I'm sure it becomes like, yeah, just so you know, I think you're ass. And here's how ass I think
you're bad and you don't deserve to be here.
Yeah. So we've seen a lot of what you've seen via the TSN and Bar Down social accounts, IG, Twitter, whatnot. And one of the things I really enjoyed on Instagram was how you're one of the only people there, so you can go get all those pucks. That's fair game. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But what happens when someone inevitably chucks their silver medal into the stands? You know, is that going to be a free-for-all? And whoever gets it, do they get to keep it? You know, I figure they've discussed this at some point already, because it's going to happen. If I spent 3+ weeks in absolute isolation with all my friends, but not with my family during the holiday season, and I went there thinking I was going to win and came in second, that I too would understand why I'd have the feelings of chucking something in the stands like a silver medal. That's what I'm saying.
I got to say,
not that I would do it, but I would get it.
Well, I'll tell you what. 100%, I would be sprinting to try and if even if they won't let me take it home, I gotta get a couple videos or photos of that medal. So I would be running to that as fast as I could. And if there are any players listening to this, I really hope you do throw the medal over, because it will make for some great content for me.
That was the most talked about thing of that final. Online?
100%, because it was wild. I've never seen anyone do that before. It was hilarious. Yeah.
They should have put that
in the
Hall
of Fame. I like
how
people were like, so disrespectful. Like, no, that was unreal. Elias Anderson, power move.
It is disrespectful, but we remember it. It's definitely a notable moment, and people shouldn't continue to do it, but I'm happy someone did it once, because the story is amazing.
People should continue to do it.
All right, well, you probably have 3 COVID tests scheduled in the next hour, so I don't want to keep you.
Guys, I get so many COVID tests. I've legitimately... I don't know, actually, so did you know they do throat tests?
I'm not in the bubble.
No, so I mean just in general. Oh, I'd never heard of a throat test before I got here.
I just know
here,
the nose one.
Yeah, they alternate. So they go up my nose one day and then down my throat the next.
An excellent visual to end with.
Yeah.
Cotton swab going directly up your throat and nose.
Down my throat. Up my nose. Yeah. So like the throat one, they like reach back and they touch your tonsils, a little tickle, and then you have to go, ah. And weirdly enough, I don't know why, but the hardest part is going, ah. That makes it so much harder, and I don't know why.
Hey, you know what though? Enjoy the final. And again.
Make the final.
Make the final, and if someone chucks that medal, you drop everything and run for it.
Even the camera?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that camera's worth more than me.
That medal is worth more than both.
No, it's silver. It's worth nothing.
That's why he threw it.
Bar down. Bar down. Bar down. Bar down.
This show is put together by Sam Glisserman and hosted by me, Corin McCallum, alongside Daniel Zekchevsky. David Crix is our executive producer, and the website was designed by Takia Singh and Pete Stewart. Our logo was made by Vincenzo Arnone, and if you like this episode, make sure to rate and subscribe. It helps us more than you know.